Thank you, Marcus, and thanks each and every one of you. I appreciate you wearing your name tags, although I understand we may have not done that all that much in the past, but I appreciate that. I will do my best to learn your names, but please be patient with me. It will take me a while, I'm sure, and I will stumble, and every now and then, and when you see me do that, just please go ahead and tell me your name, and I'll have it, and I'll thank you very much. You know, it's always exciting and a blessing to come to a new church. Church at Elizabethtown that I left was my first departing, and it was a little tougher than what I thought it would be. But it's also a little nervous or a little scary to come to a new church as well, particularly one that has been led so well by Reverend Grant and has done so much in this vineyard. And it is my prayer that if I can do just a portion of what he was able to do with you, that we will do great things for Christ. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this morning and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. There was a manager of a kind of a large office, and he noticed one day that a new hire was in the office, and he prided himself on knowing everybody's name. So he went up to this individual, and he said, I can tell you're new to the company. What's your name? And the new employee said, well, my name is John. And the manager said, look, don't take this wrong, but I call everybody by their last name. I just think that that's just the best way to do. Just getting too close to people maybe undermines my authority, etc. So I just need to know your last name. What's your last name? The man kind of looked around and looked up at him, and he said, well, my last name is Darling, John Darling. The manager looked at him and said, well, John, how do you like it here? You know, people spend a long time trying to find that perfect name for their children, don't they? The reason that I think people spend so much time is that our name can speak and tell others so much about us. If you go into any bookstore today, there's a wall that has books and books and books upon names and what they mean. Many of us know what our names are and what they mean. And you know, that's not a new practice. I remember when Karen and I had our children, we spent hours thinking through and trying to find just the right name. And people have been giving their children names with special meanings for a long time, haven't they? In fact, when we see God tell Mary that she is going to have a son, he tells her to name him Jesus because it means he shall save. Some names that we get don't really stick with us because they don't really mean what others think they should. So we get nicknames. Now, my dad's given name was Cloyd. He goes by Jack. My mother's given name is Cleona. She goes by Dixie. Makes you wonder a little bit about the names during that time and period, doesn't it? And you know, we don't always get to pick our nicknames. Others decide those for us. They do that because they feel that the names represent something important to them. Our text today that Marcus read is about a man who already had a great name. He was born to Greek Jews and was named Joseph. Now that was a great name. Joseph means God shall add. Tremendous name. But the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, although Barnabas was not one of the original apostles, he is mentioned over 50 times in the New Testament. Yet for a lot of people, he's relatively unknown. What was it about Barnabas? What was it that had the apostles call him son of encouragement? Well, one, he provided substantial assets to the church when it was just starting to go and struggling to survive. He stood by Paul, Saul, and sponsored him and spoke up for him in front of the apostles. And as you know, Paul later became the greatest evangelist for Christ of all times. He labored with Paul at Antioch, in Cyprus, Asia Minor, and Turkey, establishing new churches and spreading the gospel. And he stood beside a man named John Mark, giving John Mark a second chance when earlier in Paul's ministry he had abandoned Paul. In fact, that caused such a disagreement between him and Paul that he and Barnabas split up. What was the outcome of that? Later, this John Mark was the disciple who was with Paul when Paul was in prison in Rome. And this same John Mark, went on to write our first gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Barnabas labored long and hard, not for personal gain, not for glory, not for fame, not for power, but for his love of Christ. What a tremendous example he set for us today. But you know, we all need a Barnabas, don't we? We all need someone who will stand up along beside us and give us encouragement from time to time. The world needs people to build others up. Too often in this society, I believe, we're all about tearing others down. But here's the reality. During the course of history, during the everyday of everybody's lives, some great things that happened would not have happened were it not for some unknown, obscure person. The New Testament is full of these people: Lydia, Priscilla and Aquila, and Barnabas. And no doubt there are countless others who are never named in the writings. And the Holy Spirit talks to each and every one of us at various times in our lives to be a Barnabas for someone else that we know. Have any of you seen Franco Zeffirelli's production, Jesus of Nazareth? If you haven't, I really would encourage you to see it. To me, it's a tremendous film production. But in there, he depicts one scene that I think really speaks to us. He depicts this scene where an exhausted Joseph and Mary arrive in Bethlehem. It's late at night. And they arrive there, and Mary is so tired, and she's expecting. She's just about ready to deliver our Savior. And Joseph is going around trying to find a place for them to be, and Bethlehem is crowded. So he knocks on door after door after door, and finally he comes to one place, And the owner of this inn says, "No, there's no room. Go away, I cannot help you." And looking out a side window of that door is an older woman. Do you remember the scene, those of you who've seen it? After Joseph turns away, he goes back to Mary, and it's like, "I don't know what we're going to do." But all of a sudden, this lady shows up. "My name is Abigail," she says. And she goes on to tell Joseph that there's no room in Bethlehem, but she points out down the hill where there are some stables that they can go stay. And she says, "It's not much, but there's some dry straw and they'll be warm." And she says, "Later tonight I will come look for you. And if anybody gives you any trouble, tell them Abigail said it was okay." Remember that name, Abigail. Now, there is no biblical basis for this story in Jesus of Nazareth. We don't know if there was an Abigail or not. But I promise you, the reality is that it's most certainly that there was somebody that night who made a huge difference in moving God's plan forward. We got to ask ourselves, can we be a Barnabas or an Abigail today? You know, Saul was given spiritual sight, experienced the falling away of blinding pride and prejudice. And his conversion became a turning point for all of Christianity. Now, he went to Jerusalem. He wanted to join up with the disciples, but quite rightfully so, they were very afraid and not quite sure of him. This was the same person who had persecuted them, who had had fellow Christians put to death. And they were very well aware of this old saying, right, that it's hard for a leopard to change its spots. You can well imagine all the discussions that went on with the disciples about Saul. But then Barnabas stood up. He recognized the good in Paul, and he spoke on his behalf in a very difficult situation. Have you ever felt shunned or rejected? Barnabas stood up with Paul. And many of you are very aware of a man by the name of Jackie Robinson, who became the first African-American to play professional baseball in the major leagues. Breaking the color barrier, he faced prejudice and hatred in almost every game that he played. One game he was playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn, and he committed an error. And the fans began to boo. And they started to boo, and they stood up, and Jackie didn't know what to do, and he just stood there at second base and put his head down, and the fans began to jeer. Without saying a word, shortstop Pee Wee Reese went over to Jackie and put his arm around his shoulders and stood next to him and faced the crowd. And the crowd went silent. Jackie later said that it was Pee Wee Reese's arm that saved his career. Pee Wee Reese was a Barnabas to Jackie that day. Barnabas is a model for all of us. We are all called to be a Barnabas. Who is God calling you to stand next to? Have you ever had anyone stand up for you? Marcus just mentioned I am a sports official. I officiate high school and college baseball and football. And yes, I'll answer that question right away. We do miss calls. Not many, but mind you, we do miss some, right, Carrie? But it means so much to me when I have a partner out there on the field with me, and sometimes we'll be in a very tough part of a game, and there are times when I've made a very correct but tough call that is not popular with anyone in the crowd, and it brings a lot of sounds and actions of displeasure. And I have a partner, and I look up, and he can give me this quick little signal that says, you nailed it, you got it right. And it can keep me going on in that game. God wants us all to be nicknamed Barnabas, to be an encourager, to help others. And Barnabas helped with verbal encouragement. There once was a young man by the name of Jamie Scott. Now, Jamie, he was trying out to be in a part in a school play. And it's something that he really wanted to do. And his mother was very apprehensive about this because she knew that there was a lot of talent also trying out for the play. And she felt very anxious about the outcome of the tryouts. On the day that the parts were awarded, she picked him up with school. She had brownies already and everything ready just in case it hadn't gone quite as well as perhaps they would want. And all of a sudden, here comes Jamie running down the sidewalk, beaming with pride and encouragement, excitement. Guess what, Mom, he said. And then he said the words that his mom will never forget. I've been chosen to clap and cheer. There's always a need for someone to clap and cheer. God calls us to be an encourager. But it's not always easy, is it? Sometimes it's hard for us to see the needs of people when we are so busy in our lives with the work of just simply making a living. And sometimes there's people that really don't want our help, or they act like that. But Barnabas kept on, and so must we. Now, I have no doubt without Barnabas, the church would have continued to grow. God's plan never depends upon one individual. But the journey would have been certainly more difficult. He truly helped the progress of the message and gospel of Christ. And that's where I want to be, and I suspect that's where you want to be too. We want our lives to matter. We want to be someone that reflects the love of Christ and of our Father to those who are around us. You know, we saw Barnabas in all sorts of situations in the scriptures that was written, that was spoken this morning. You know, and what I like about Barnabas so much is he's willing to be whatever. At times we see him leading and selecting church leaders and being in the pulpit. Other times we see him setting up the chairs and cleaning up afterwards. We see him doing the jobs out front and in the most humble of jobs. He was born of Joseph, and God did indeed add to his life. Think about what would have happened if there had not been a Barnabas to cheer Saul on, to encourage John Mark to try again. Surrounding us today, there's a Saul, someone that we need to be a Barnabas to. Accept them. Encourage them. Show them kindness. Well, how do we do that? Do we wait for that big moment that comes out where we truly know we will make a difference? There are no insignificant acts of encouragement. There are no little ministries. Some may be more visible than others, but each and every one of them is essential. You know, in your home, many people think that the most important light may be the big chandelier, the light in your dining room. Sometimes I think that the most important light is that little night light that keeps me from stubbing my toe at 2 a.m. You know, many years ago, there was a movement that started that I thought was outstanding. It was called, and y'all know this, Random Acts of Kindness. They were acts of encouragement. It didn't have to be much. I think these days in our society at times, acts of common courtesy go a long way. A smile. Holding the elevator door. Have you ever noticed at times when we're in an office building and you're coming up to the elevator door, I swear sometimes they're punching that close button. They're afraid that I'm going to get on and get off before their floor. Hold the elevator door. Smile and look at people in the eye. You'll be amazed how eventually they will smile back. Challenge yourself. This is the tough one for me, to even let that rude driver merge in front of me. Small acts of kindness and encouragement will carry the day. And you know, here's the kicker. That as we become a Barnabas, when we encourage those around us, when we perform a small act of kindness, we move beyond the limits of being human. And we reflect the love of God in freely giving for no other reason than to encourage others. We touch wings with the divine. When we do this, we become twice blessed. For as we encourage, as we show kindness, as we reflect the love of Christ, we transform not only that piece of the world that we're around, but we change ourselves as well. And God rejoices. The church moves forward. And the angels dance. Don't question if whatever you do makes a difference. Recognize the truth in Mother Teresa's words when she says, "We cannot do great things. Only small things with great love." Have you encouraged someone with no strings attached? Can you be a Barnabas or an Abigail? Now, Kyle, I don't know how to start. How do we do that? And sometimes it's tough to do. But sometimes it's just your presence. I remember many years ago when my daughter Tara and I were out on a Indian Princess campout, if any of you remember that organization or a part of it. We were over 200 miles away from where we were living at the time, and we hadn't been there 10 minutes. When we got there, she jumped on a swing and was swinging with one of her friends, seeing who could go the higher. And it's one of these things that as a father, you said, no, she won't do that. Yeah, she did. She jumped out and landed and dislocated both elbows. Now, here we are 200 miles away. You can well imagine how the phone call went when I called Karen. But the doctor told us that she had to have surgery now. And I wanted to wait and drive her back to the Dallas area, but the doctor said, no, we need it now. So here I was, alone in a hospital waiting room, watching the clock move 5 minutes every 2 hours. Every now and then, I would hear in the surgical ward in that hall a door open and somebody run down the hall. You can well imagine how that got my attention. And suddenly there was an elderly man. I don't know his name. I have no idea who he was. I couldn't even tell you what he said. But all of a sudden, there he was sitting across from me, talking. 2 hours later, the doctor came in to tell me that the surgery had gone fine. He shook my hand and left, and I turned, and the older man was gone. But what a gift he had given me that day. He was a Barnabas when I needed one. You know, a simple card can do so much. The other day I received a card when it said, you deserve a high five, a low five, a toe five, and a two-handed five. It lifted me on a day that I needed it. A colleague at work of mine at P&G used to kind of put a suspense on his calendar where he would send a card to coworkers or spouses of coworkers who had passed on. He would send them a card 6, 7, 8 months later. He was a Barnabas. You know, it's hard to be on the receiving end of encouragement, isn't it? When Karen was pregnant with our son, Justin, she went into labor on Palm Sunday. Justin was born in the middle of August. Now, I don't have my dates mixed up. Yes, that was a 5-month labor. Now, while the doctor didn't tell us at the time, he told us this much later, he didn't really expect for Justin to make it. But if he was to have a chance, Karen had to stay lying down on her back for the next 5 months. Here we were, 1,400 miles from family, new to the area, just joined a church, no family around. We had a 1.5-year-old, and Karen was going to have to stay lying down. I didn't know how I was going to make it. How was it going to be with Karen? How was it going to be with my daughter? How can I keep the house up? Before I knew it, that church that we had joined became, for us, the body of Christ. Meals were delivered night and day. People I didn't know came over every day to talk with Karen just to lift her spirits up. Somebody was always there to change a diaper or take a little girl's hand. High school youth I'd never met came over to clean my house, mow my yard. On those days after a long, hard day at work and then getting home and staying with it at home, and I just didn't know how I was going to face the next day, week, or month, someone either called with a word of encouragement or said a prayer, because I found my spirits lifted and renewed. God, through the people in that church, carried us for those 5 months. I told many of them later on, I have no idea I could ever repay it. Pass it on, they said. Be a Barnabas, is what they were telling me. John Wesley wrote this poem that many of you know, but I'd like for you to listen to it again. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Start today. I ask you, I challenge you to commit to one act of encouragement, one small act of kindness every day for this month of July. I ask you to do that. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. Just simply hold the elevator door for someone. Smile. Say something nice to someone who's had a tough day. Do it every day for the rest of this month. And I suspect you won't stop. God will work through you. So I ask you, what is your nickname? Are you willing to be a Barnabas or an Abigail? Can you be a volunteer for Christ? Be an encourager? Stand by someone who needs you? Be there to clap and cheer? Provide an act of kindness? Will it matter? Only time and eternity will measure the significance. But God will know, and the angels will dance. Amen and amen. Please pray. Oh, Father, we are your disciples, Lord. Your priests in the priesthood of all who believe. Grant then that in the fellowship of your love we may be more than hearers. Teach us to speak for you, to work for you, to live for you. Be a presence to all here gathered. Father, let some word that I've spoken bring peace, give strength, and shed light. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all your children here today say, Amen.